Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice with The Second Cost. No, how did I get on that? For the second course of The Food Show, we are happy to be here every chance we do. And here we are right in the middle of things, not too far away from where they're making Jack's. Oops, not Jack's. That wouldn't be it. It was a Dixie beer. And it's all getting a...
Welcome back, Dixie.
A refund on life over there. We have a pretty lively show today, I think, and it's going to get livelier still. Peggy Scott Laborde is here?
Not yet.
Oh, yeah. She's not.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, she is. I am here.
She is here. I knew she would be here because you talk about somebody reliable and somebody who's really into her work. You've got Peggy Scott Laborde. Old buddies going back since college age with
absolutely.
And here you are again. It's been a while. How are things?
We are good. We're all excited. The whole weekend, people are so excited about the Dixie Brewery coming back. And we have done a documentary that airs Tuesday night
Channel
12 at 8 o'clock. And it's a history of New Orleans brews, and with an emphasis, of course, on Dixie.
And I did have a bad bruise once. Hello?
You did?
Hello?
Was it Regal or Falstaff?
See, this is the woman that Tom should have married, because Peggy gets all of his jokes. And even more important, Peggy laughs at all his jokes.
We
How
also
did you let
sing
her get
Cole
away,
Porter
Tom?
On occasion, too.
Wait, what?
We also sing Cole Porter songs on occasion together. So there you go.
It's almost freaky to watch them together. Yes.
Anyway, it is so good to hear from you all, and thank you for asking me to be on your show.
Yeah, you know, and I'm holding in my hands here just something to communicate even one more slight time between you and me. And it is a big book. At the top of it, there's stuff that says, The Original Brunnings Restaurant. And the big type
in the
middle of it.
I think that's a book that we may have done together called Lost Restaurants of New Orleans.
It says Lost Restaurants of New Orleans. And here they are, folks.
It's such a natural. It's a wonder it took you all that long to get around to it.
Oh,
yeah.
Well.
When did that book come out?
When did this come out? 76?
No.
When
not
was
that
it?
Not long ago. But I'm going to grab a copy as we're talking because I see
you
it
don't
right
have to
on
do that.
My... What
I've
year?
Got one
I'm
here.
Guessing 2013.
Okay.
No, yeah, 2011.
2011.
Oh, wow.
There we go. Yeah. What happened was I produced a documentary on called Lost Restaurants, and certainly Tom was a very key interview throughout the show. He was sort of the star of the show. And then we realized, of course, it would make sense. Well, no, it was true. And it would make a lot of sense to join forces. And the kind folks at Pelican said, okay. And, of course, Tom had all the knowledge, and I had access to visuals. So it was a good coming together.
It's a beautiful book. It's a great collaboration.
You have so many great references to things. It's hard to believe that they're still around, and here they were. You got that put together. It's a terrific book, if I say so myself.
It is a really good book.
Yeah. Well, Tom, really you book. Are such a whirling dervish, and I don't know if you remember this, but one thing very unfortunately, and I know Marianne, you do, that happened is that you had hurt your foot or leg in an elevator or something, and so you actually had to be still for a few weeks. And I think that's how we got the book done.
Uh-huh. That's exactly how it went.
Because you were just writing and I know it's very hard to sit still because you've got so many things that you're involved in. But I remember that, and I'm just glad you recovered quickly. But it was so much fun to do. But we really both had something to add to put together for that, and it was a great project.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the one you're talking about today.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about how you managed to do that one.
Well, you know, such good news to know that Dixie was finally going to be brewed back in New Orleans, and this major effort to turn this building, which had been the old McFrugal's that had burned, you know, this huge facility in New Orleans East.
McFrugal's?
McFrugal's. It was actually a McFrugal's, which eventually became Big Lots. Okay.
Well, but you have touched me about something I've never heard of before. What was that?
Yeah, believe that. And you can see it, of course, from the you know, the I-10 overpass right there in New Orleans East. But what happened was the Brunos, who owned Dixie, as you know, Kendra and Joe Bruno, agreed to sell it. Now, they're still partial owners, to Tom and Gail Benson. And the Bensons, which loved that brand, and Mr. Benson had grown up with his, you know, his dad drinking the beer, and of course it was such an iconic landmark on Tulane Avenue, being a former Mid-Cityite, as you are, Tom, you know that. And they actually ended up coming together.
Peggy, there are too many people who are icons these days.
I mean, you really are one, and so is Peg.
Who said that?
Well, so this was a great story, you know, because it was going to finally come back and be brewed in New Orleans. And so it seemed like a natural, and we did it.
Mm-hmm. Did someone approach you, or you just thought this would be a great thing and you approached them?
Yeah.
Oh, we have had so much fun over the years.
I guess a mutual coming together. You know, fortunately we were able to find the funding, because that's always a hard thing too. But we had some interested viewers who came to us and said, hey, we want to do this. So that was very good. That always helps in public TV, which is very nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And but anyway, we're doing this. And what I like, it's not just Dixie. We talk about, of course, Regal, you know, which was made actually on Bourbon Street, where the Royal Sonesta is today.
That's right.
Falstaff, the same building, is still there. Falstaff.
And it still has the right numbers telling you whether it's going to get colder or hotter.
That's right, the weather ball. That's right, Tom, on top of it. So those kinds of things. We grew up with these crab, those trays, those seafood trays, those metal trays that would have the logos of the different brews. Jack's in particular had a huge budget for those kinds of items, which were promotional, big marketing items. And so it seems like every New Orleans family had a few of those trays in the kitchen.
Hey, Peggy, you know, I've got a little story here, and I don't know if you've heard about it or not, but it's pretty amazing to me. And I'm hoping, with my fingers crossed, that I will remember this as I'm telling you. But over at the Jack's Brewery, it was in the old building, much later in time, there were some of the commercials that Jack's Brewery had that were done by no less than our weatherman,
Nash Roberts.
Nash Roberts.
Uh-huh.
And between the two of the, it was a guy and a girl.
Oh, and Nichols and May.
And May. You're the first person I've ever bumped into who was able to pick that out.
What did I say, folks? What did I tell you?
It's just the only thing you had going for you was the voice. It didn't say anything about Mike Nichols or Elaine. They were just, and it was the same people, you know, in there. I thought that was brilliant. I don't know why it has never been put in.
You know, I asked Peter Mayer. Remember Peter Mayer? Peter Mayer Advertising.
Very well.
I asked him, why didn't they do well? Why didn't those commercials, you know? And they said they were probably too entertaining, because this is the famous comedy team of Mike Nichols and Elaine May, you know, and they were funny. But maybe they didn't make you think about Jack's beer.
And they're probably too well known on a national level and didn't have much of a local connection, too.
Very good point. Yeah, but that's it. Well, one of those commercials is in our show. So.
Oh, good.
Peggy, I was too busy last night chasing crab cakes to watch the show. So I'm going to have to go ahead and watch it on Tuesday night. When is it again?
A Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, and then the very next evening at 10 o'clock on WYES. And it'll be, and you can go to WYES.org for all the upcoming other air dates, but that's when it makes its debut. And it's just a half hour, it's real quick, and I'll tell you, it is definitely enhanced by the fact that Ed Piglia is this gentleman. You know, we have a lot of wonderful collectors of New Orleans memorabilia in town, and he had the most amazing collection of beer memorabilia, and that is what is at that little mini beer museum at the new brewery.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
I was wondering where that stuff came from.
Yes.
Peck, is the documentary going to be just pretty much permanently ensconced at the museum there? Not the museum, but in the theater there? Is it going to play like on a loop or something?
No, actually, a 13-minute visitors video, which will have a lot of the similar stuff,
uh-huh.
is going to be there instead, because that would be a little too long, you know, for the visitors. But 13 uh-huh. minutes. And the gentleman who is a local personality, LBJ, who's on News with a Twist and on the radio, he narrates that. But that will be on a regular basis, and there's a lot of little tidbits that are included in the documentary as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking, I don't have any idea who LBJ is. Forgive me, folks.
Oh, that's okay. He's a very talented guy.
You would be such a natural for that. I mean, it's like, you know, two icons. But anyway.
And two icons. I was about to say you beat me to it.
It's almost like a band, two icons. Anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Remember, Tom, you know, like, it's funny. People, I remember shrimp boils and crab boils. The whole crawfish thing didn't
yeah.
come in until much later. But
That's
you had
right.
those trays and those crabs. More often than not, it was crabs on those trays.
More than that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So,
what else are you working on? What's your next project?
Oh, well, thank you. Actually, it's about New Orleans streets. And we're hoping that's going to be done in the fall. But it's a history and stories behind some of the, like, the history of, you know, where did the name Chapatulas come from, and Julia and Poydras, and just all kinds of New Orleans streets. And
I thought it was about potholes when she said that.
We talk about potholes. We actually do talk about potholes. But we also talk about directions. As you all well know, as Orleanians, you very well know, we don't say, if somebody comes up to you and says north, south, east, or west, we look at them like they're totally crazy. It's the lakeside and the riverside, darling.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but that'll be on New Orleans Street Stories, God willing, in the fall.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
And, of course, Stepping Out, which Tom was on for so many years, Friday nights.
Oh, Peggy, I can't believe Tom is not still on that. Tom, after Tom did his little Easter egg thing, I hope you still have videos of that somewhere. That should be in a museum.
I still have the eggs.
I asked her the other day if he had, because we're sitting in the studio at home, and which is just like wall to wall crap is what it is. But it's important and interesting uh-huh. stuff.
Of course it is.
But those little cards that he used to use for the inside of that egg. I asked him, where are those? And we were looking for them, but we couldn't find them. So maybe you, on tape, have the only recorded record of Tom's, what were they, jungle cards or something.
Well, Tom,
anyway,
you introduced me to Peeps. You're talking about Peeps, huh? Are we
Peeps.
Talking about
no,
Peeps
not
too?
The Peeps.
No, that's when they
oh.
came out, was in Peep season.
Remember when it was Easter time, he used to have that silly egg, and you would... You know, on the inside of it, it would be one of those safari cards. It would be the last
yeah.
thing you were expecting to see. Mm-hmm. People who have seen Stepping Out from 30 years ago, I'm sure, remember this. And nobody,
yeah, like
and everybody else is going,
egg.
Huh?
Huh?
I've got like three or four of them.
This is narrow casting, you see. We're
yeah.
talking about something very specific, but that's good.
Yeah, very specific is right. Okay, so recapping one last time, Peg.
Okay.
When
yes, thank
and...
you.
Okay.
Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, and then Wednesday night at 10. And thank you all so very much for helping us spread the word, because we're really proud of the show. So much good, as I said, memorabilia. I think people are going to go really wild about some of the stuff and some nice memories of beer and growing up in New Orleans.
Well, that's your specialty.
Okay. Thank you. It's so great to talk to you.
And we love it. Thank you, Peggy.
Okay. Love you all. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Peggy Scott Laborde from Channel 12.
Oh, one of the real people.
Yes.
She and I go way back.
Yes, you do.
I'm proud to say
she's
that.
She's an icon, her own self.
That, well.
260-6368 is the number if you'd like to chat with us after the break. We're listening. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Yep, there it is. You're here. It's the food show again. More of it. And it's nice to be here with you talking about the food scene around town. Whatever you've got, we are more than happy and generous in a way, in the way that you give us bounces for the direction where we're trying to go, whatever that may be. And if you understood that last sentence, let me know, because I didn't. And let's see.
I was about to say, if you understood that lesson, please call Mary Ann and give her coaching.
Who's on hold? I thought we did.
No one. Yeah.
No? We didn't. No. I thought I heard the symbol of it. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, it's a food show, 260-6368. And we're coming to you from the new Jack's. No, I keep wanting to call it Jack's. The Dixie Beer. I sold so much Dixie beer when I was working at the Time Saver. It's amazing that it doesn't buzz in my brain.
You don't get royalties or something?
Hmm? Royalties? Could be.
You know what we have as part of the parting gift from last night?
Oh, what?
Which I thought was incredibly generous of them.
Yeah, there's a little green bag.
No, beyond that,
yeah,
there was a stack of 12 packs or 6 packs? 12 packs, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first run, so it's sort of a collector's item.
Wow, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. If you would like to call us and talk about Eskimo pies.
Eskimo pies.
Or Klondike bars. I think, Tom, you're describing an ice cream sandwich.
Sandwich, right. So what's the difference?
Well,
I've never heard that before.
I think that an ice cream sandwich, good as it is,
mm-hmm.
is sort of mediocre vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Between two mediocre chocolate wafers.
Yeah.
But together, they make a very nice little package.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
where did you used to get these?
An Eskimo pie. There's a glob of vanilla. I'm not even sure it's ice cream. It might be ice milk.
Could be.
And it's dipped in chocolate. And there's no baked aspect of it. It's just vanilla ice cream dipped in chocolate. And then a Klondike bar mm-hmm. is, I believe, the same thing. I don't know if I've ever had a Klondike bar. But it's the same thing, only it's square.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen them before, and I've had them before, but, you know, it's been a long time.
And all of these ice cream treats are delicioso. You know what I also really, really used to like?
No, tell me.
In my ignorant food days before you, Tom.
Hmm, imagine.
What were those things that you would get off of an ice cream truck, which were waffle cones filled with vanilla whatever,
mm-hmm.
chocolate sauce drizzled on top with peanuts.
Mm.
So it was like it was like a kind of ice cream that you would get at an ice cream parlor.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were going to go to a real ice cream parlor and have a waffle cone hot off the press filled with ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Only this was frozen, 50 style.
Mm-hmm.
But good enough if you needed one of those things.
Well,
I
want to
say they're peanut butter cones or something. I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about, folks? It's a cone.
I don't.
It's a sugar cone.
Yeah.
It's a sugar cone
mm-hmm.
filled with ice cream with chocolate drizzle and chopped peanuts.
Yeah.
And I think the edge of the cone is dipped in chocolate, too. These things are good. Yeah. I mean, you know it's not good for you, but you know, you want to eat it anyway.
But where would you go to get one of these? Because I vaguely remember it, but
I think if you went to any convenience store
mm-hmm.
in the Good Humor dispenser where you slide the top and you pull out one of these treats.
Mm-hmm.
They're always in there.
Mm-hmm.
Along with Eskimo pies and Heath bars that are frozen. The more I think about it, the more these things all sound really good. Anyway, anybody know the name of those? 260-6368.
No, I never have. But I'm glad to have heard of it today, because next time I see one of them, I'll buy it and remember you.
Am I going somewhere?
No, of course not. Why would I do that? We're happy you're here. It's the food show, and we'd love to talk with you about anything. You know, no matter
what
it is.
We are waiting.
We've been busy today.
The arrival
of whom?
Oh, thank you. Someone texted me.
What?
People call on the air. It's a talk show.
No, it's the steak show.
The name
we
of...
We haven't gotten a steak yet.
Yeah,
called
somebody
up
please
it.
Call for heaven's yeah, sake. We've got to get Tom off of that.
What's your steak
the
these days?
The answer to the question I just got.
Uh-huh.
It's a Nutty Buddy.
A Nutty Buddy. I remember those.
Yeah.
My sisters used to get those all the time.
They're delish.
And they had nuts in them, right?
They had chopped peanuts
chopped
on the
peanut.
Top.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you, my friend,
well,
for texting me that.
Now we know.
Yes.
Glad to have that nailed down and ready to go.
Nutty Buddy. Yeah.
Nutty Buddy.
Anyway, yeah. I'm now spoiled.
Yeah?
My voice is shrinking as the cold takes over like a Jumanji vine. Anyway.
I love the image. I love the image. It's greatest.
Yeah, it's
great.
Like the Jumanji vine of my cold is just like... Mm. Taking it away.
Oh,
anyway.
You'll get over it.
So the Nutty Buddy and all of those frozen treats,
mm-hmm.
particularly the ice cream sandwich,
yeah.
has now been relegated to the dustbin of history.
Mm, I don't think
for
so.
Me, for
oh,
me.
Oh, for you.
Because a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
Mary Lee and I discovered the great pleasure of making our own homemade ice cream sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
She makes dark chocolate shortbread cookies that we mm-hmm. then fill with ice cream. Make. Who is?
Yeah, who is?
L-E-E.
Okay.
L-E-E?
Make. The sandwich, and mm-hmm. then rewrap it in aluminum foil and put it in the freezer and freeze it, and it's a great, oh, it's so good. I'm thinking about it right now. Let's go to Lee. Hi, Lee.
Lee, come on in.
Hi. The ice cream you're looking for was called a Nutty Buddy.
Yes,
a Nutty Buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What was in it? Do you remember?
Just like Mary said, the sugar cone. Vanilla ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The chocolate was hard, and like the nuts were on top.
Yeah. Now, if you were walking into a convenience store right now, Lee, and you saw the Good Humor or whatever it is thing as you walk right mm-hmm. in, you can lean down and look at this freezer that you slide the top off. And you reach in and you pick up what? What are you going to pick up?
Hmm.
A fudgesicle.
I love fudgesicles. I had my fudgesicle stage. I did. Yes. There's fudgesicle, dreamsicle, the frozen Heath bar, the Nutty Buddy, the Eskimo pie. What am I leaving out?
Well,
the garlic
sardine. A Klondike. It was also called a polar bar.
Uh-huh.
And it was the vanilla ice cream covered in the hard chocolate
yes.
on a stick.
That's about it, yeah.
Yes, it was like an Eskimo pie, but on a stick, yes. These things are great. I mean, they're definitely from that era where everything was convenience, but they're still really good. It's like the little ice cream truck going down the street full of those things.
Sounds good.
Yeah. These are good memories.
And I'd like to give a word out to I live in Carrier, Mississippi, and I'm on my way back from dinner at Quavis's Fish Shack.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. Are they still in business? I haven't been there ages.
Delicious as ever.
Is it? Mm-hmm.
They're still on Highway 11, huh?
Yes. Uh-huh. No, 43.
43. Oh, that's a new...
I think that's where they've always been. Cuevas' Fish House, so that's still good, huh?
Yes, and they actually opened up a sister restaurant in Diamond Head called Cuevas 2, T-O-O.
Really? Huh. Okay. Maybe we'll have to try that. That's good to know. Thank you for telling us that, because Diamond Head...
I prefer the filet, but you can get the catfish fried, either filet or whole, and or you can get broiled filet.
Okay.
Plus they have that all you can eat.
Well, Cuevas is going 21st century if it's now sautéed or grilled instead of fried.
Hmm.
All right, Lee. Thank you for calling.
All right.
Appreciate the tip.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
See ya. Bye. It's the food show.
6368.
Tom Fitzmaurice. 260-6368.
Should we just introduce Timely?
Yeah.
And then we'll have to go to a break, and then we'll come back and talk to them some more. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Wow.
I know I sound like a masher. Yes.
You
getting
do.
Worse. Yeah. And you're thinking to yourself, boy, I'm glad she's there and not in the toaster with us. Yeah. This is Timely and the Toaster, my niece Emily and her husband Tim, who are on Instagram as @Timely and the Toaster. And we have been having periodic check-ins from them as they travel the country in the toaster, which is their renovated RV. Tim, we were reading your Instagram today. And I want to hear about, what's the name of that place? Slack It, or what is it?
Slap City.
Slap City?
Explain it, Tim.
I hope so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Slap City is, I guess it was a military base back in World War II, like during World War II times. And then it just became like an unoccupied land, and now it's known as like the last free place in America. So like there's 2,000 people that just live there in their RVs, and you know, they're very like, they're all hippies, right? Like it's interesting. And they just create artwork and live in the desert. So it's just, it was, I can't believe my wife like allowed me to go there, or she agreed to go. But I was basically like,
do they have any hookups? Cause don't you need hookups to put an RV there?
Nope, this is all, so you got to really depend on your generator, right? So you can,
What about waste and stuff?
I have no idea. I have no idea what that is.
I guess
lawless out there, just lawless.
It's lawless.
Lawless.
It was really a great experience, though. We really enjoyed ourselves.
It was very... more civilized than I thought it was going to be. Everyone we met was very nice. It was a very cool experience.
How many nights did you spend there?
No nights. I only wanted to go in the daytime.
Yeah, we just went in the daytime. We didn't want to go in the night. But
Emily, while you're sleeping tonight, Tim is going to pull a U-turn, and you're going to wind up waking up in whatever the name of that place is. Spell it, Tim, so we can look it up.
Wow, that would be
different. S-L-A-B. Slab City.
Slab City.
Slab
Sounds
City.
Sounds rough.
Okay.
Sounds like a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
Get lost.
Wait, what'd you say, Tim?
I mean, it's definitely, you know, they're traveling types of people. They're very, like, anti-government types of people.
Okay, now, I have to say this, though. Considering the places that you've been kicked out of for the toaster, you were probably the mansion pulling into there.
We were like a Maserati or a Ferrari.
Yeah, you were royalty, RV royalty.
It felt great. It felt awesome.
All right. Okay, while I'll let you all ponder Slab City, We're going to take a break and come back to Timely and the Toaster, my niece Emily and her husband Tim, who are two millennials who work from home, who renovated an RV and are traveling the country. Most recently, before Slab City, you were in Lake Tahoe, and I want to talk about that. And you know what? I'm so disappointed that I didn't get a hold of you all before you came back through the Los Angeles area, because I wanted you to go to a place called The Old Place, which is deep in the Malibu Mountains. Mm. Anyway, we'll talk when we come back. 260-6368, you're listening to WWL 105.3 FM, HD2. We are back and talking to Timely and the Toaster at Timely and the Toaster. When last we spoke, you guys were in San Francisco, where we recommended Yang Sing for dumplings. Did you make it there?
It was closed.
No, but I mean, you said you were going to go back the next day, so you didn't go?
No, they closed at 3, Emily, like 3 in the afternoon. So we tried, but we didn't realize it was an afternoon place.
Okay, so you didn't make it there. Did you go any place good in San Francisco?
Yes. What? That was so long ago.
I know. We have to go through a lot of stuff in the last 2 weeks. So San Francisco, then you went to Napa.
Yeah, Napa was great.
Yeah,
we did that
Napa
on New Year's. Like an 8-hour wine tour. We fell asleep by 7 on New Year's, so no New Year's kiss or anything.
Well, you guys are stuck in an RV together, so you're way past that. Okay, so what great wineries did you visit, and what do you recommend to anyone going to Napa?
So Madonna Estates was really good. We went there. They had, I believe that was where they had like really good white wine, and we're normally not big white wine drinkers, but their
that
white
was
wine.
Bonanza.
What?
Bonanza.
That was called Bonanza.
Bonanza. Oh, wrong winery. Bonanza.
With a V. With a V. Bonanza.
Oh, Bonanza. Is that
the white wine?
Okay.
Yeah. And that was wonderful. I don't even like drink white wine. That was my favorite wine of the day.
Bonanza. Okay, I never even heard of that. Is that in? Is that on the Silverado Trail?
Oh, man. Don't ask.
That's the main drag.
I've never even heard of the Silverado Trail.
We were, chauffeured around, so we didn't pay attention to direction. But
yeah, okay.
I will look it up. I'll send you a note about
it. No, you don't have to. That's the main drag it probably was. Okay, what other ones did you do that you liked?
Jacuzzi was the first one we did.
Yeah.
What?
That was cool.
They,
that was great.
Yeah, like
it's
jacuzzi, like the people that invented that, the jacuzzi, I suppose, they also have a winery out there. So they actually specialized in like dessert wine. So they served you dessert wine in small little chocolate cups, and then you could eat the chocolate cups. So that was probably my favorite just because it involved chocolate.
I was about to say, that sounds pretty good.
Because it involved chocolate.
So you can't just say the jacuzzi people. So what's the name of it?
Jacuzzi.
So
the winery was called Jacuzzi.
It was called Jacuzzi?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jacuzzi Winery.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. What else? Anything that we would automatically recognize? Did you go to Rubicon or any of those? Chandon?
I didn't hear of any. No. I mean, I guess I'm not as big of a wine person as I thought I was, but I didn't recognize any of them.
Okay.
There's
a million
places.
Of them out there for sure. Okay. Did you go to Taylor's Refresher?
Oh, that's everybody goes there to get hamburgers and stuff like that, right on the border between Napa and Sonoma, if I remember right.
I think it's actually in
Sonoma. Most of the wineries that we went to were in Sonoma. Just
one
was in Napa.
Okay. All right.
So we should have been clear about that.
Yes, sounds like it. Okay. All right. So then, I thought you were going to Napa. Did you just go to Napa briefly and then spend most of your time in Sonoma?
Marianne, I thought I was going to Napa too, but Emily booked everything.
that sounds very, very familiar somehow.
So then you flew. Did you fly home after Napa?
We had a little trip. A little talk about that. I was like, I thought we were in Napa.
Well,
Look, I don't want to hear about all your little, I don't want to hear about all your little marital squabbles. We have our own. So let's go to after Sonoma / Napa or wherever you were in that whole area. Didn't you fly home, or where did the poor toaster wind up in the shop?
Yeah, the toaster had to go to the hospital in San Jose for a checkup. And so we went home. I had a couple other fires I had to put out. So we went home for about 2 weeks. And then we flew back to San Jose, ditched the toaster, and rented a Jeep. And that's when we did Lake Tahoe and Yosemite.
Oh, you did Yosemite too? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. Is it? It must be. Is it snowy right now?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't snowing, but it was covered in snow.
Snow on the ground.
Yeah. That's why we didn't want to take the toaster out, though.
Yeah.
We were kind of nervous. I don't think we could have made it. There's no way we could have done that. So the Jeep was great.
Yeah, it seems like you all have had enough trouble with the toaster on the road. So, you know, probably a good idea to leave it. So then, all right, so where are you? So from Lake Tahoe, which I believe you were just there a few days ago, right?
Sunday and Monday. Yeah.
Okay, so between then and now you went to this Slab City place?
Yeah, we went to Lake Tahoe on Saturday, and then Sunday was Yosemite, I thought, or Monday. And then and then we drove to Santa Clarita, which is a little north of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Just to stay the night. And then we drove to Slab City.
Okay. And
now we're in Tucson, Arizona.
You're in Tucson right now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, what fantastic meal do you have to report from your travels of the last few weeks?
I paid $50 for a stone crab.
Six?
Just one.
Wow.
Yeah, up in San Francisco. That was
stone crab in San Francisco. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm really not super impressed with, like, a lot of the food that we got in California. We were just like, well, this is kind of bland.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's always something to say. Like, it was just like, I'm not, because Emily, like, she's complicated. She always wants to go to, like, a very nice restaurant.
Uh-huh.
So we always go to a nice place and we always leave, like, I don't know. I could have used some more fattening sauce or I don't know, you know?
Well, clearly you all didn't take our advice and go to Tadich Grill either in San Francisco.
I know.
That's
no.
That's
we need
place.
To really start listening.
You should start
doing a bad job.
What?
I said we're doing a bad job on our own, so I know.
Yeah,
any
okay.
recommendations for Tucson tonight?
Are you staying in the toaster?
I'm looking right now.
Are you staying in the toaster?
Yeah.
No, we're going to Uber.
Okay, but I mean, like, I was going to send you to the Ritz-Carlton at Dove Mountain, but if you're in the toaster, then, you know. Is the toaster back in good health?
Yeah, it's good now.
Besides the door lock, everything's great about it.
Did they fix the window/lock on the door situation?
No, that's the only thing they didn't fix.
You're still climbing through the window, Emily?
No. It's a little
it's manageable.
The sunroof now. Okay, so I don't know where to tell you to go in Tucson. If anybody has any ideas for Tucson, call us, 260-6368, and we'll give them some advice that they will almost certainly ignore. Anyway, where are you headed after this?
So then we're going to El Paso, which is about, I think, 4 hours away. So we're going to explore Texas next. And once we're done with Texas, that's when we're coming to you guys.
You are riding on the Sunset Limited's train that goes from Tucson is one good place for them. They have a little town downtown and
they have
restaurants.
Some good stuff in Tucson downtown.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
And then it keeps on going through all the desert country, which is beautiful in its special kind of way. And it goes all the way to New Orleans. You get over the Huey P. Long Bridge. That's the last thing you get on.
Yeah, well, they're gonna have to move a little bit slower in the toaster. If you go to downtown Tucson in your Uber and just get out and start walking around, you'll find a great place.
Okay. Awesome.
Downtown Tucson's very cute. Very cute.
So I think we're going to El Paso tomorrow, and then Big Bend, which is like
Napa. That's Tom's favorite place.
The most beautiful place in the world.
That's
in
what I heard.
Race.
I heard it was like the most underrated place in America. So that's where we're going.
It is gorgeous, and but be careful because it's very dry, very desolate.
It is desolate.
But
yeah.
You'll never see another place quite like that before. It's my favorite. I've always wanted to wish that I could arrange things so that I could die there, but I can't figure
I've
out how to die.
I've offered to drive him. I've offered to drive him.
That's so wonderful to hear.
He's always said to me, when it's time, drive me to Big Bend and just let me get out. And I keep saying, when do you want to leave?
Thank you.
Well, I'll take you there myself. For the weekend.
Okay, now look. Around Big Bend, there's some really cool places. There's a barbecue joint, and I do mean joint.
Yeah.
Like a cave almost, in Terlingua. Terlingua.
That's where they have the competitions.
Yes.
Cocoa, not cocoa. What's you make it with a lot of beef and stuff.
I'm not even sure that the toaster will
be able to
go into Terlingua. It's a little town, but yeah. Terlingua, there's a barbecue joint there. There's also a good barbecue joint in Lockhart, which is nearby. Lockhart close?
That's another barbecue place.
Yeah. A lot of good barbecue in that area.
Between Austin and San Antonio.
No, it's down by the Big Bend.
Like
there's an old cowboy hotel. Marathon.
It is like a genuine old cowboy hotel. Amazing place.
Don't tell them you know us because we flooded the bathroom upstairs when we were there.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, but it's called the Gage Hotel, G-A-G-E.
Right.
A very cool place. And it's a good, like, world-class kind of restaurant. Believe it or not, in the middle of
it was good.
Nowhere.
They came up with an idea I've never seen anywhere else. They had like onion rings for half of the frying appetizer, and the other side was bell peppers that they sliced thin, and they would throw them together, and it was really good.
Yeah. These are places I hope you're taking down. They're very cool and will definitely enhance your experience. Yep. The Gage Hotel.
Okay. On the back of this card right here. So I just wrote them down. We're good.
The Gage Hotel has now become this resort in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's like villas out there.
Nice.
And then if you pass through Alpine, Texas, there's another cool cowboy hotel right on the main drag there. I don't know what the food's like. What's the food like in Alpine? That's a college town.
That's a cute little town.
It's a college town.
A lot
town.
Of artists hang out over there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, believe it or not, there's a lot of skiing around there in season and a lot of hiking.
Really?
But the Alpine is where you stop and get your equipment to keep on going.
Alpine, Texas. Yeah. Okay, then moving into San Antonio. Somewhere right by the Riverwalk, there is a Mexican restaurant. I know this is really sort of generic. I'm going to try and look it up and text it to you guys, but it's a good place. And then when you get into Houston, Torchy's Tacos, Tim.
What?
Yeah, I remember Torchy's. They have the fried avocado that you guys are talking about? Yes.
Torchy's Tacos.
Anti-Houston, though.
Actually, Tim, what you should do is look them up on the website, Torchy's Tacos. They're all over Texas. You could probably get a hit of fried avocados several times between now and here. Okay? between where you are and then here. And there's a really great Mexican. I'm talking like real gourmet Mexican in Houston that we love.
Okay.
And it's called Hugo's, H-U-G-O-S, in a very cool neighborhood, in a very cool building. And he's got other good restaurants there. Awesome. And then you'll be here.
Ta-da.
Yeah, we were going to do Galveston as well. We've just heard good things about Galveston. And then we were going to ride to New Orleans after.
Okay.
Maybe not. Yeah, but like soon, at least soon after that.
Well, thanks for coming
this
way.
Well, based on the way we've talked to you, like every couple of weeks, you'll probably be here before we talk again.
All right.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I will say there was a good restaurant in when we were up in the middle of the mountains in El Dorado National Forest. We stopped for lunch at basically the only place, which is called Ham Station.
Wait, what's it called?
Ham Station.
Ham? Like
Ham as
H-A-M-M-S?
Uh-huh.
No, H-A, yeah, H-A-M, like the ham, like pork, meat, ham.
Station.
Yeah, so that was a little hole in the wall place up there. Ham Station, like train station, Ham Station.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's in El Dorado? Where's that?
El Dorado is the forest, the national forest.
Okay.
I guess between Yosemite and Lake Tahoe?
Yep.
How was Lake Tahoe?
Pretty great,
great,
I thought.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We won
some food there. That's a resort.
Yeah, we won money.
We ate in the Hard Rock Resort. There's a restaurant, actually, that's really popular. It's called the Oyster Bar. And we ate at the restaurant. Like, there's a larger restaurant that's attached to that because the Oyster Bar itself is maybe, like, 14 bar stools. And there's a line of, I mean, probably over 50 or 60 people that wait for those bar stools to open up. So that's, the place to be in the Hard Rock Hotel.
Oh, gosh. Okay. At Lake Tahoe. All right.
Yep.
Did you stay in the toaster there, or did you go to the hotel?
No, we stayed in the hotel.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we won $300 playing roulette, and we used that to buy our dinner.
Wait, what happened?
We won money playing roulette, gambling. In the casino.
Woohoo!
And got a free meal out of that.
All right. That sounds good. All right, guys. We're going to say goodbye. Thank you for checking in. Keep us posted. If you got something really great to say and have time to come on, okay?
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Timalee and the Toaster, at Timalee and the Toaster. Tom, can you keep talking? Because I've got to blow my nose really bad.
Okay. Well, we have gotten to the end of the food show for today.
Not really. We have a couple of minutes left. Want to mention one thing.
One thing.
One thing. Tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and I'm afraid if people are listening to the show, they're not going to want to be anywhere near me, which is fine. I'll stay away from you. But you should still go to Audubon Park Shelter 10 at 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, this is over by these the golf courses.
The clubhouse, yeah.
Yeah.
On Magazine Street at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, registration for the Gumbo Gras and Umbrella Walk for the Crew of Tux, the third annual one to benefit mostly children's charities.
I think I'm going to be one of the judges there.
Yes, it's $25 a ticket, and children are free. There'll be a second line with the umbrellas, and we are judging 14 gumbos.
Wow.
14 gumbos. So there'll be a lot for you to judge as well. You will get some tokens, and then you can
And where will this be?
Present your own opinion in the jar for each of these gumbos. That is the Umbrella and Gumbo Gras.
Uh-huh.
For the Crew of Tux. That's tomorrow. Ottoman Park.
Okay.
Shelter 10, 9 o'clock.
All right.
Tom, you have to talk.
Thank you.
I've got to.
Well, that sounds like a good way to go, and more will be coming.
Oh, my gosh. I certainly hope that I'm better on Monday.
Well, you know, you'll be all right. It's okay. Anyway, we are here every day during the week and on the weekends sometimes, yes, sometimes no, but it's the food show, uniquely yours anywhere in America. You won't find it anywhere but here, and we just celebrated our, what is it, 34th year?
31st anniversary last summer.
No, radio shows don't last that long, but ours did.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's great to be here all the time. Hope you will tune in next week or during the week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.